Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to The Savage Nation for the 13th of January, 2015. We continue to talk about the news of the day in the new format of unprotected talk, which means that you call 855-400-7282. With your unprotected call, I don't know who you are, what city you're from, what station you're from, or what your topic is. So it leads to sort of an unknown quantity in talk radio, and a little different than getting stuck on one topic for 2 or 3 hours, which I will do if there is breaking news, which I've done for the last few days, because the Muslim wars against the rest of the world are on everyone's mind except that of Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, Jed Johnson, and virtually the entire leadership of the West. Every citizen knows that we're facing annihilation because of the cowardice and the ostrich-like insanity of our leaders. Everyone knows this. So how can we not talk about it? How can we not talk about a topic when you have Jimmy Carter, a long-term fellow traveler with violence, tying the Paris attacks to Jews? As you know, Jimmy Carter is a long-term anti-Semite, in this case anti-Jewish, in my opinion. Because if you say anti-Semite, it would mean anti-Arab. But no, he's not specifically anti-Semitic. Jimmy Carter is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Palestinians in direct ways and indirect ways, in my estimation. You have to listen to, not quite yet, to what he had to say. He says the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is one of the origins of Islamist violence, which is one of the great lies that you'd expect from Adolf Hitler's ministry of propaganda. Because there are Muslim wars around the world right now in, let's see, Afghanistan, Burma, Pakistan, Philippines, Bangladesh, India, China, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Libya, Mali, Nigeria, Somalia, Algeria, Cameroon, Nigeria, Uganda, Chechnya, Dagestan, Russia, Iraq, Israel, Syria, and Yemen. So wherever you look, there are Muslims at war with their neighbors around the world. Israel is one of the hot spots. But not the sole hotspot, but to the anti-Zionist, anti-Jew Jimmy Carter and his fellow travelers in the universities of America and Europe, Israel is the reason that the Muslims are on the warpath, because they're ignoramuses and their fellow travelers of the violent ones. But it gets worse than that. Nancy Pelosi should know better, but she names the first Muslim lawmaker to the House Intelligence Committee. But it gets even better. This representative, Andre Carson of Indiana, is the first Muslim lawmaker not only on the House Intelligence Committee, but he's already worked on Homeland Security's Fusion Center. What is that? Why, that's the place, a clearinghouse, established by Obama to streamline all the classified information that comes from the CIA, the FBI, and the Department of Justice and the military into one place. And this Muslim lawmaker, no doubt a very patriotic, America-loving lawmaker, has been at the center of that. The Intelligence Committee will most likely tackle a series of high-profile international crises during the 114th Congress, according to Pelosi. Listen to this. Including the threat of Islamic militants and Ukraine, which means that Pelosi and Obama and Holder will shift the entire focus from Muslim terrorism to Russia. This is how insanity works. This is how nations die. And this is, of course, what we fight against on a daily basis on the Savage Nation. So, again, if you'd like a list of Muslim wars around the world, which includes Israel, and they include all the countries I named, they're on michaelsavage.com right now. Again, the phone number is 855-407-282 for unprotected talk from around the country and around the world. Let's listen to the quizzling Jimmy Carter in clip two.
Well, one of the origins for it is the Palestinian problem, you know, and this aggravates people who are affiliated anyway with the Arab people who live in the West Bank and Gaza, what they're doing now, what's being done to them.
Go get next one, please.
This is a new evolutionary development in terrorism.
Attorney, I don't want to listen to this insane, dangerous, anti-American American. He's always been a disaster for the country. The problem is Barack Obama is his blood brother. Jimmy Carter's views are that of the entire left-wing establishment. It's exactly why they won't call terrorism Muslim. It's exactly why the State Department sorority girls will not connect the dots as every other nation is doing. Now, what do these countries have in common? Afghanistan, Burma, Pakistan, Philippines, Bangladesh, India, China, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Libya, Mali, Nigeria, Somalia, Algeria, Cameroon, Nigeria, Uganda, Chechnya, Dagestan, Russia, Iraq, Israel, Syria, and Yemen. What do they all have in common? Why, they're all fighting Islamic murderers. They're all fighting Islamic extremists. They're all fighting 9th century throwbacks who would like to drag the world back well over 1,000 years, imprison women, kill homosexuals, and turn the rest of us into slaves, burn our libraries. Shall I add a little more to the list of what they do when they take over a country? Are you that stupid? Are you that idiotic that you listen to Bill Maher or the moron who runs The Daily Show and you think that you know what's going on in the world? You've not been yet aware of the fact that these clowns are government agents. They're nothing but government jesters. I don't mean they receive a check from the federal government, but they receive their marching orders from the federal government, or else they wouldn't be on the air. They're government jesters, all of them. And that's why the drug generation is ignorant. They are the victims, the sheeple, getting ready to go to slaughter and have their throats cut. Now, you say it can't happen here. You say that that could never happen. I know some very intelligent people who fear it can happen here. They fear that it is already happening here. They fear that the operatives of such activities have already been put in place in this country in very high places. So you have to look to history in order not to repeat it. And you're going to say, well, we can look back upon previous Islamic invasions of countries, and you wouldn't be wrong to do that. You could look at the early Muslim crusades against Christians, and you wouldn't be too far off from that. But I have another example from history of the Islamic war against the world right now, and that is the Mongol conquests in the 13th century. Many people don't even remember the Mongol conquest from high school history because it's so far in the past that it seems to have no relevance in the age of Microsoft. But who are the Mongols and what did they do when they conquered a people? Well, they are a Tatar people from a nation or a country or an area to the north of China that came out of nowhere and achieved a series of conquests that has to this day no parallel in history. They were called the Mongols. At first, they were nobody. They were a horde of nomadic horsemen living as their predecessors, the Huns, had done, subsisting upon meat and mare's milk and living in tents of felt. They had broken free from Chinese dominion and brought a number of other Turkish tribes into a military confederacy. And their central camp was on the Onon River in Siberia. We're talking about the Mongol conquests. The most famous of the Mongols would be Genghis Khan, J-E-N-G-I-S, Genghis Khan, the leader of the Mongol Confederates. And he made war on the Chinese Qin Empire and captured Peking in 1214. He then turned west and conquered western Turkestan. He conquered Persia. He conquered Armenia. He conquered India down to Lahore. He conquered South Russia as far as Hungary and Cilicia. And he died master of a vast empire that reached from the Pacific to the Dnieper River in Russia. Genghis Khan had a successor named Ogdai Khan. I don't have to give you the history. You could look it up on your own. You can read Gibbon's Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire to see how we are dying in this country. But you have to see what the Mongols did when they conquered. When they conquered Hungary, they massacred or assimilated the kindred Magyar, even as they had previously massacred and assimilated the mixed Scythians and Avars and the Huns before them. So wherever the Mongols went, they either assimilated or massacred or did both. That's exactly what ISIS is doing now, wherever their presence is felt. And that's what they will do here. That's what they will do in France. They sent out advanced teams in the form of what happened in Paris. They're sort of like the bugs that were released first as a test case to see how far the bugs could go. And the bugs got right into that hall of journalism, and they slaughtered at will. They're sort of cockroaches that were let out of the nest to see how far they could go on their invasion. And the test went very well indeed. Very well indeed. It was very successful. Because aside from all the braying of all the sheeple in Paris, the 4 or 5 million sheeple, the ungunned liberal morons who attacked their own conservative branches that would defend them, I'm afraid the sheeple are just there waiting for the slaughter, as previous generations of sheeple have been throughout history. And you have to understand that the Mongols are a pretty good model for what is happening with the modern variety of Islamic murderers. Yeah, you can find the same thing in the early history of Islam, where they slaughtered, converted, raped, hung, buried alive. But a very good comparison can also be found amongst the Mongol conquests way back in the 1300s. And I only give you this little thumbnail view of history to show you what we are facing. The problem we have, though, can be heard in the sorority girls who work for President AWOL Obama. Here, for example, is a girl, a sorority girl, who is not only a sorority girl, but she works for the State Department as the number one spokesmouth for the American policy toward radical Islam. You have to listen to clip 5.
Well, it's not hard to say, but it's not the only kind of extremism we face. I would recommend to folks looking at this administration's counterterrorism record, I would remind people that more terrorists who claim to do acts of violence in the name of Islam have been taken off the battlefield in this administration than under any previous one.
She was asked on Fox News why you will not say it is radical Islam that we're fighting. And the sorority girl, Marie Harf, who speaks for Barack Obama in the State Department, or is it Lantern Jaw, Kerry, I don't know who, would not say radical Islam. Listen to clip 6.
But that's not the only way that you counter this kind of extremism. Much of it Islamic, you're absolutely right, but some of it not. So we're going to focus on all the different kinds of extremism.
Hold it, stop. So they're going to hold a meeting on extremism, but not about Muslim terrorism. It's just one of many. And no doubt they'll bring up Christian terrorism and Jewish terrorism. Perhaps even Hindu terrorism and Buddhist terrorism and certainly Christian terrorism, but they won't say Islam. They're just one of many kinds of terror in the world. This is the exact party line of the front groups for the new Hitlers of our time. Pay careful attention to the death of a nation. There was once a movie and a book called The Birth of a Nation. Well, Barack Obama's legacy is liable to be the death of a nation unless you, the sheeple, wake up and smell the scimitar. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN.
Violent extremism is something that we want to be focused on, and it's not just Islamic violent extremism that we want to counter.
No, keep going, keep going.
And all forms of violent extremism would be discussed, and obviously the most potent and certainly the most graphic display that we've seen in recent days is motivated by those individuals that seek to invoke the name of Islam to carry out these violent attacks.
You know, spokesmouths like Josh Earnest rightly earn a place in human history as the lowest of human form. In other words, it's one thing to be ignorant. It's another thing to be an outright paid spokesman for horror and hell. But men like Josh Earnest, who refuse to call the devil, are the Pied Pipers leading us all to our death. And he works, of course, for the master of Pied Pipers. Do I have to mention the O name? We know who he is, and we know exactly the damage he's done to the soul of this nation. But all I can do is tell you every day what's going on and ask you why Nancy Pelosi, who is a grandmother and a Catholic, would announce in a closed-door meeting just today that she would name the first Muslim lawmaker to the House's Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. On it. I mean, at a time like this, why now? What is this idiot trying to say? What is she saying? Screw everybody? I'm smarter than everyone? I don't understand how this country can survive with such idiocy. Because I think that Nancy Pelosi once in a while would wake up and say, you know, I have grandchildren. I really ought to be worried about whether they can survive under Sharia law. But no, she'll go ahead. And she'll listen to Jimmy Carter's big lie that it's the Jews. And it's Israel rather than the Jews. See, now, you understand that the good liberals say that they're not anti-Jewish. In fact, some of them invite Jews to dinner. Some liberals actually invite Jews to dinner or have Jews marry into their family. No, it's anti-Zionism. It's not anti-Jewishism. They don't marry Zionists. They marry Jews who have no relationship to Israel or Judaism. They're Jews in name only. And then they think that they have cover and that they're good people. And then they follow the Jimmy Carter belief that all of the attacks around the world by infuriated, underprivileged Muslims are because of the Palestinian problem. You have to play clip two again. Just play it again, Sam.
Well, one of the origins for it is the Palestinian problem, you know, and this aggravates people who are affiliated anyway with the Arab people who live in the West Bank and Gaza, what they're doing now, what's being done to them.
Well, you see, now the real problem is the Jimmy Carter problem. The real problem is the Jimmy Carter problem, the Barack Obama problem, the Dianne Feinstein problem, the Nancy Pelosi problem. That's the real problem, is the ostrich effect, the head in the sand approach. And if you listen to guys like him, we have no problem with radical Islam. The president of France said we do. President of England said we do. But not Josh Earnest, Jimmy Carter, Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi. No, we have no problem with them at all. It's Israel. It's those darn Jews again. If only those darn Jews would pack up their little valises and leave the Middle East, why, the Palestinians would turn it into a paradise. Just as they've turned Gaza into a paradise for those who live under their rule in Gaza. Why, when the Jews fled Gaza under Ariel Sharon, the Palestinians were told, we were told the Palestinians would sell roses in France and make, send flowers around the world. Instead, they broke down the greenhouses that American Jews built for them and stole the hoses and the pumps and started launching rockets into Israel. But Jimmy Carter apparently missed that point in history while he was drinking snake oil.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
When he doesn't wear a suit, and he's having some kind of relaxed meeting with these kids, do you have any idea the danger we are in? Because this is not a JV team. This is an elementary school team running America. But the danger here is not that they're an elementary school team. They're an extremely dangerous elementary school team. In fact, a story came out today that was pretty alarming, and it said that Obama, what he's getting away with stripping away our immigration laws. Well, the headline in the National Review Online by Joel Gerke is "What Not Even the King of England Could Do." A federal researcher points out George III couldn't suspend laws, as Obama just did with our immigration laws. And he's talking about the King of England. He said, what would George III do when faced with a law he didn't like? Not even the King of England at the time of the American Revolution had the authority to suspend laws unilaterally. The law library expert wrote in a memorandum to the Senate committee tasked with responding to Obama's recent executive orders on the enforcement of immigration law. 100 years before the American Revolution, another British king had attempted to suspend a number of laws, contributing to the onset of the Glorious Revolution in England. A senior foreign law specialist at the Law Library writes in the memo to the Senate Judiciary Committee, King George III, the specialist goes on to remind the committee, was thus unable to enact or repeal any laws unilaterally without the involvement of Parliament. The memo obtained by National Review Online was written in response to a request by Senator Jeff Sessions, according to a top aide in his office. So Obama's executive actions supersede or are greater in their insult to the rule of law and the rule of our national democracy, if there is any left, an insult greater than that committed by King George III, But the reason he gets away with it is manifest and manifold. The reasons are manifold, and the reasons are clear. And I don't have to spell them out for you right now in the Savage Nation. But we have a problem on our hands because people will not say it like it is. By and large, we had an election that was nullified by the press, by the media, by the media jesters like Jon Stewart, the media jesters like Bill Maher. These are media jesters, or I really call them government jesters, because you may envision them in a jester's costume. That's all they are. They work for the government. Oh, yes, now they're muttering things about Islam in order to maintain a shred of credibility, but it's a little too late for the party, because they were slamming and ridiculing people like Michael Savage for well over 10 years now, because we were saying it like it was, and I was saying it in books I wrote 10 years ago. Now all of a sudden, oh, they're muttering, yeah, radical Islam, right? And of course, this stooge crowd applauds. Wonderful. So how do we get out from under the iron heel, the iron boot of this insane elementary school team? I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. I don't have an answer. If I had an answer for you, I would have given it to you a long time ago. I've written books. I do a daily show. I try my best. I give it my heart and soul. But apparently the American people are sheeple who are born for slavery. And they will have slavery. They will have slavery because that's what they wish for. They wish to be enslaved as they are now enslaved by their vices and devices. Not a bad choice of words, right, Robert? Enslaved by their vices and devices. That's very good. It should be stolen within a few seconds on the internet and credited to someone else in the media. But yes, enslaved by their vices and devices, sitting here watching the world literally change in front of their eyes. And they come from the Woody Allen School of Foreign Policy, where they're citizens of the world. And they think that the Muslims would leave them alone because they're not really anti-Islam. I mean, Woody Allen would be spared. I mean, he may be Jewish, but he would be spared because he's one of the good Jews. Paul Simon. I'm just giving you types that their whole life they've attacked conservatives, attacked patriots, spit on people who are patriots, made a mockery of the police, made a mockery of our soldiers, made a mockery of our flag, made a mockery of the church, made a mockery of the family, made a mockery of father, made a mockery of mother, made a mockery of everything decent and sacred about this nation. And they are the cultural icons of America. So if you think that Obama came out of a vacuum, you're mistaken. He is the collective consciousness of those people. They created him in their mind. The Larry Davids of the world, the Harvey Weinsteins of the world. Those individuals that I often ridicule on this show, using satire, using sarcasm, using all the powers that God has given me and all the knowledge that I have gained over the years, all of the reading, I try to tell you who they are historically. And there are many names for the Woody Allens in the world, as talented and as funny as they may be, as wonderfully talented as some may be with the guitar. They are the Pied Pipers of our demise. And so here we sit on the precipice of the future, and we really don't know which way this nation is going to go. We have an individual in the White House who is out to destroy us, either knowingly or unknowingly, but it doesn't really matter. Does it matter anymore whether Obama wants to knowingly or unknowingly destroy us and turn us into an appendage of Aslan? Why would he be bringing in millions and millions of uneducated, unskilled individuals, most of whom will stuff the welfare rolls, bankrupt the states, collapse Obamacare, destroy our health care, turn us into a third world cesspool? Why would he be doing that? Do they not see exactly what this will lead to? Forget about terrorism. Let's put terrorism aside. We know a small number of Muslims are sneaking in with the Mexicans and the Guatemalans. We know that. That's a given fact from the DHS itself. But put that aside, Teddy. The smartest dog in the world is my dog. He's listened to 3 hours a day for his entire life of 10 years. Right now he's laying in his dog bed, staring right at his master's voice. And he probably has a PhD right now in political science from all the years of listening to the show. I would say that my dog has a larger political vocabulary and a greater knowledge of politics than Josh Earnest, the spokesmouth for Barack Obama. That would be my guess. The reason is that Teddy is not drugged. Teddy never went to a psychiatrist. Teddy never went to an Ivy League school. Teddy never had any medication other than when he had teeth removed. So I would say that the dog has a healthier view of the world than the spokesman for Barack Obama. There are so many other things that I want to talk about before I take your calls, and I think the next 4 minutes are a good place to do it. I'm trying to slip in all of my knowledge of what's going on. I had to give you a little history of the Mongols and the Mongol conquest, and maybe it was a little off the mark in some ways, but not really totally off the mark when I told you that when the Mongols were victorious and they entered nations, they massacred or assimilated people. They massacred the Huns. They massacred the Avars. They massacred the Scythians. They massacred the Hungarians. And then they went into Asia and they conquered the Sung Empire. And then they took over other regions of China. I'm talking about the Mongols way back in the 1300s. You say, what does that have to do with anything? Well, it's interesting that the Mongols had a bitter animosity to Islam at this time. And they not only massacred the entire population of Baghdad when they captured Baghdad, but the Mongols destroyed the immemorial irrigation system which had kept Mesopotamia prosperous and populous from the early days of Samaria. Because from the time the Mongols destroyed the irrigation system until very recently in our history, Mesopotamia had been a desert of ruins because the irrigation system had been destroyed by the Mongols. Now, the Mongols tried to penetrate Egypt, but they were unable to do so because the Sultan of Egypt completely defeated an army of Hulaguls in Palestine in 1260. Now, I'll stop right there, because many of you know history, and it's okay not to know history. You don't have to be read a book on it to make yourself a genius and make yourself your genius on history, or that you're a great genius on the Constitution. You mentioned the word Constitution and the Founding Fathers, and you have a pair of George Washington's wooden teeth in your closet, a mock pair of George Washington's wooden teeth, and it makes you an expert to just clatter his teeth every day. We're way past George Washington and the muskets. We're living in a new age, and our enemies are amongst us. They're everywhere. Some wear suits and ties, no headdresses. They speak in unaccented English. They work for presidents. They work for secretaries of state. And they may not even know that they're our enemies. They know that they're good girls and good boys who are patted on the head and given little rewards at the end of the day by the real enemies of America. And the little girls and the little boys are the Pied Pipers of our time, along with the television government jesters. I don't even mention the news media. There is none. There is no news media anymore. You know, there's a song, there's no England anymore. Well, how about there's no media anymore? So we have the march of 4 to 5 million people, the sheeple march, and nothing changes. Tell me what changed the next day. Nothing. Obama didn't change his tune. He's going to hold a conference on extremism without mentioning the word Islam. Now, this is astonishing, considering that the president of France said that it's a war against radical Islam. Prime Minister of England, war against radical Islam, but not Obama. It's a war against extremism of any kind. That would include Christians, Jews, Hindus. So what does that tell you? Well, don't call me. You know what it tells you. What I'm going to tell you? That you already, what you already know? Well, I have a couple of things I got to talk about in addition to that. Tomorrow is going to be a big announcement in the media about me. I can't give you the whole press release right now, but it's going to come out in a major newspaper or two tomorrow. And I guess I can tell you some of it, not all of it. I told you a little bit about it. Michael Savage creates unprotected talk format. Announces $100,000 in college scholarships. I'm not going to give you the details of everything. Certain contractual issues that are enormously important to you are going to be announced tomorrow, which is big news in the radio media. That will be announced tomorrow. And where is this? They don't mention the book. Again in the second Vigaro? It's not here again? Nevertheless, I'm trying to fix the press release. I don't know. You know, I have to do things during a show. It gets very exhausting. I can't seem to keep up with my own work. I have no assistants. I don't believe in assistants. I believe in doing things myself. So the college scholarships, right, I wanted to tell you about that. Today is January 13th. If you go to michaelsavage.com, my website, you go to the middle, and it says, where is it? I don't even know where it is. I can't find anything on my own website. It's too many good pictures. Is it there anywhere? Does anyone see where it is? The scholarships? It got right here. Savage scholarship contest counters anti-Americanism. Savage announces $100,000 in conservative scholarships. But I can't find the actual box where you click on to find out how to apply. That's the problem. I think it got dropped. So if Art's listening, Art, can you make sure that's put back on the site? Because as of January 15th, you can apply. Please don't apply for the scholarships if you're a graduate student. No. Don't apply if you have money to go to college. No. I only want kids who don't have the money to go to college to apply. And you have to prove it. And we'll find out if you're faking it, because you won't, you know, believe me, you're not going to get it past us. So please don't take away the money that goes to a more deserving kid than you. You know what I mean? Give someone else a break. Don't be greedy. That's number two. Let's see, number three. Number three, this is too early to tell you, but I was shocked this morning to get the mail in my driveway, because this book, Countdown to Mecca, a thriller, the third in the Jack Hatfield series, and probably the last. I'm not doing them anymore. They're too exhausting. Jack will live through this third book, and that's the end of it, I think. The book will come out for Father's Day of 2015. I don't know why. They're holding it. I have the book in my hand. I just got it from St. Martin's Press. Michael Savage, Countdown to Mecca. Best-selling author of A Time for War and Abuse of Power. This is probably the best of the three, with Jack Hatfield saving the world again. For those of you who like thrillers and like my descriptions of San Francisco in the book, everyone seems to love it around America, except people who live in San Francisco who don't read. I discovered that people in San Francisco are the most illiterate people in America. They may be technically adept, and they may know how to Twitter, but they don't know how to read, because none of them read any of my best-selling books. How do you explain that? When it doesn't match the protocols of liberalism? Anyway, the book is called Countdown to Mecca. You can't even buy it. It's on Amazon. I'm not even selling it yet. It's a pretty interesting title, since I came up with it last year. And you can pretty much figure out what it's about. Or can you? No, you can't. No, you can't. See, the title is Countdown to Mecca, and you would think it's about one thing, but it's really about another. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Breaking news. I wish we didn't. Here comes more of the government cover-up. Fort Hood says no indication of Ebola after soldier who'd been in West Africa is found dead. Fort Hood liars, I mean officials, are working to discover why. I mean, how to cover up. Why a soldier who recently returned from West Africa was found dead outside his off-post residence this morning. But you have to read on to find out what really happened. The soldier had just returned from Liberia, where he'd been working with Ebola patients. But nobody is saying Ebola. According to a media release from the liars at Fort Hood, the soldier had recently returned on emergency leave and was under established guidelines to self-monitor himself twice a day and report his status to medical officials. 87 soldiers from the 36th Engineer Brigade had been sent to Liberia since October 14 by Barack Obama. There is no indication of the Ebola virus disease, but medical tests are underway to cover up that there's no threat to the sheeple in the United States of America. Initially, the spokesmouth said the autopsy was going to be conducted in Dallas. Instead, the body has been taken to the Carl R. Darnell Army Medical Center at Fort Hood. That sounds ghoulish. Now, why would they remove it from Dallas to Fort Hood? Well, there's no better way to cover things up than to keep it centralized. That's all. Fort Hood officials will not release any info about the dead soldier. Not his name, not his age, not his place of birth. They say the additional information will be released as it becomes available. The incident remains under investigation. There's your lying, thieving, killing government at work.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You can turn off the music. I mean, you think about it, when I was a kid, America, we knew what America was and we knew what it wasn't. We knew there was injustice, but we also knew that we were safe from enemies foreign and domestic. We had a president who had fought in World War I, distinguished himself, then was the Supreme Allied Commander in World War II. Everyone trusted Eisenhower. Very few people didn't. I know he was a liberal Republican, but so what? There were golden times in America in the 1950s. And I think back on those times and how I could sit and build a model airplane for hours at a time without any other thoughts in my mind. In many ways, you know, when I sit here on the radio, I'm building a model airplane in the sky is what I'm doing. I'm constructing a balsa wood model of the world as it is and a world as it I would like it to be. But basically, they're just verbal models that I'm creating for you. I'm still the same kid sitting at a desk with a tablecloth under my microphone, constructing things for you, the world as it is and the world as it should be. And in that regard, I don't confuse myself with a world leader. Unlike some in the media, I don't think that people hang on my every word and that the world changes according to what I have to say. I think what I have to say is important to those who analyze things, but basically I don't think it has any effect. When I look at the idiot progressive politicians of San Francisco, when I see Willie Brown, when I see Jerry Brown, when I see Nancy Pelosi, when I see all of these left-wing fanatics who have not moved into the modern world in terms of what is actually going on. When I see this guy Burton, who's still running the Democrat Party, as though it's still the same America as when he and his brother conquered the Democrat Party, not changing a damn thing, bringing Aztlan into America, destroying California one day at a time, I say to myself, what hope is there? So I go on my merry way, and I say to you, there's no one else in the radio who can go from the history of the Mongols to Mongolian beef in one sentence other than me. And during the break, I had Mongolian scallops, not Mongolian beef, and one other Chinese dish in a six-minute period. I've now reduced it to 3 minutes per Chinese meal, and I eat it during the six-minute break over the top of the hour. I can knock down two Chinese meals to fuel the barrel chest required for talk radio. You know, I remember I was at dinner with two friends the other night, three friends, Saturday night, I think. And they said, well, you have a really powerful voice. I said, well, it wasn't always like that. I was once an adolescent with a squeaky voice. I sounded like, you know, Donald Duck. But I decided I wanted to be a man. So I remember reading those comic books of Don't Let the Bully Kick Sand in Your Face. Remember, they were earlier than your time, Robert, right? Charles Atlas, they were ads for weightlifting or some stretching device of the type that I think that Harry Reid almost got killed with. I'm not sure what they were. The elastic bands that Harry Reid allegedly was using when he allegedly got knocked into a cabinet. I don't believe a word of that, by the way. Doesn't look like a cabinet injury to me. Nevertheless, we wish Harry Reid a quick recovery. So I read those comic books of Don't Let the Bully Kick Sand in Your Face. I was the skinny 99-pound weakling, I guess, or so I thought I was. And I bought a set of weights when I was 11, and my father built me a set of iron bars in that cold garage in that attached house at the bottom of the driveway on Utopia Parkway in Queens, because finally that son of his was going to mount to something so that he could get into. You know, later on when I wore black clothing and let my hair grow long and played the flute in the basement, I think he wanted to have me assassinated. That he was terrified of that part of me, the artist in me. But when I wanted to pump iron in that cold garage, sometimes 10 degrees, it was an unheated concrete garage under the house. But I always loved the cold. So he put these receptacles for iron bars for weights in the thing. And then I set about to build myself up, and I got a set of dumbbells. And I remember reading weightlifting books and boxing books and this kind of book and that kind of book. And I saw that if you wanted to increase your chest size, you laid on a bench press, on a bench. And you did, like, you know, to the side and up, to the side and up. I did hundreds of them a day. And I couldn't believe it. But my chest started to increase in size. And I used that in other parts of my body because the body does respond to exercise. And as my chest expanded, my voice got deeper. Would you believe it? I'm not telling you, like, there's no conclusion to the story other than the sorority girls who worked for Obama might consider reading one of these books on increasing their chest size in order to sound like adults. So now it's that time of day on the Savage Nation. When you hear that rattle, what does it mean, Robert? What does it mean when they... It means it's the fortune cookie time, boys and girls. So now you're hearing the sound of the first... I got Teddy's attention. He got off his bed. That's the sound of the fortune cooking opening after the Mongolian Beesh. Beesh? Mongolian Beesh? Mongolian Beesh. What is that? I'm not a rap artist. You are a Mongolian Beesh. Do not rush through life. It says, do not rush through life. Pause and enjoy it. I'd like to know the computer that writes for these Chinese restaurants. Here's the next one. This is for my second meal, a second fortune cookie. You deserve special treatment this month. Enjoy dessert. I don't eat it. Here, Teddy, you can have a little bit of fat and sugar. Have it. And that's it. That's the fortune cookie moment of the Savage Nation. Let's go back to regular programming. The phone number here is irrelevant because you can't get on the show. Since I introduced the unprotected talk, people are enjoying unprotected talk quite readily. Does that sound like it has a sexual connotation? People are enjoying unprotected talk. Is that why unprotected talk took off like it did? Is because it has a sort of, yes? I think it has that kind of connotation. It's kind of cute. Look, everything has to have sex appeal. And the only reason the Muslims might not win is because they have no sex appeal. I mean, how sexy is cutting off someone's head? How sexy is performing clitorectomy on a woman? How sexy is burying a person alive? How sexy is killing an entire village? How sexy is enslaving people? How sexy is burning books? I mean, it's not very sexy. I don't think it's going to sell. It's that simple. Let's take line one. You're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mark in Detroit, Michigan, on the great station of WJR, AM 760.
Bingo. Now, there's a man who knows how to play radio. What's on your mind?
Sir, I listen to you all the time. And basically, it's hopefully brief. It's two parts. First is an observation based on what you were saying yesterday about what's going on in France. And second, more importantly, I have a question that I'd like to ask you based on voter history. Obama not sending any leaders to France, and this is common knowledge. He was raised in a madrasa for 4 years, which in Indonesia, which that's the number one recruiting center for jihad. Number two, one of his first speeches he gave, he made it very clear, to, in my opinion, his agenda. He said, we are no longer a Christian nation.
And listen, I could cut to the chase. If Obama came out in a headscarf and chanted Allah be praised and said he is now working for Al-Qaeda, you know what would happen? The entire Democratic Party would say, cheers to him. He's finally understood how we have to reach out to the Muslim world.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I mean, let's just cut to the chase. Do you think Nancy Pelosi would wake up and smell the scimitar?
They're all like you said. Yes.
You know, you can give them any name you want. They're putting this danger, this nation in danger. So what can I do about it? That's why I joke around with fortune cookies and buy Challenger Hellcats and stuff like that. By the way, I got the Hellcat yesterday. I drove it for the first time after the show, and I want to thank again Sterling Heights Dodge up in Michigan for bringing it here, and then here in the Bay Area, the Marin County Dodge Chrysler dealer. Oh, my God, what fun that was. I don't know how to drive the car, though, because it's no matter what I do, the tires are so... There's so much torque on this car, the Dodge Hellcat, that I have to figure out how to make the tires stick to the ground. I love muscle cars, A, because I've always loved them, and B, it's like, you know what it feels like driving that black car? By the way, you can see a picture of it on my website. Yeah, I'm very turned on by cars. I love them. It is, what color is it? It's a certain kind of black here. Black, phantom black tri-coat pearl exterior paint. You want to hear something neat? The window sticker of the Dodge Hellcat that I got directly from I almost said Washington. No, Obama didn't build it. It's not an Obama Hellcat. He's sending us there, but he's not building us. The window sticker, I watch the Mecum auctions all the time. The window sticker says, this vehicle was built especially for Michael Savage, which I've never seen before in a window sticker. So I put that in a special folder in a safe, and I would say 20 years from now when I'm, let's see, I'd probably be dead by then. 20 years from now, I would say the odds are I won't be on the radio when I'm 52, that's for sure. But 20 years from now, when this car is auctioned off by my descendants, at an auction gallery, and they bring it out. It'll be just like this car. It'll have 12 miles on it, and it'll show the window sticker and say, this car was built for a man who was in the radio business, long forgotten, an author of 30 books, whose name cannot be mentioned, but his name was Michael Savage. You might bring a lot of money. 200-mile-per-hour speedometer, leather-wrapped steering wheel. I love reading these things. Functional hood scoop. I don't know how they build this car for the money. I mean, I think about it. They're losing money on these cars. There's no way a Chrysler's making any money on this Hellcat. It's impossible. It's a hand-built hemispherical headed blown engine. That's the in crowd for supercharged. Sorry, I use a phrase from the 50s. I don't know if they still use that. That's terrible. A supercharged engine, sorry, but it is. It's known as a blower. And it's a 6.2-liter supercharged Hemi V8. Unbelievable. I never felt torque like this. 720 horsepower. What I love is you can press a button and you can go from 700 horsepower, or if you really want to be ecologically efficient, you can lower it to 500 horsepower. You can only use 500 horsepower if you enter the environs of San Francisco. And I felt like Steve McQueen and Bullet in the car, because just starting in the garage, this thing fire comes out of it. It lets out fire. The roar is like, it's got a sound that only Steve McQueen, God rest his soul, could have appreciated. I highly recommend it, but you can't get one. Chrysler pulled it off the production line for me. Through that deal, a Sterling Heights Dodge, they were going to get it for me. They pulled it off the production line and made the car special for Michael Savage. Would you believe it? I never saw anything like. I don't know how they make it. They're losing money. It's like the early Corvettes. In the early Corvettes, they were losing money on them. They were like loss leaders to get you to buy Chevrolets. That's the same with the Hellcat. But what a car. It's unbelievable to me. I mean, I have expensive Mercedes. This car is equal to them in many ways. I wouldn't say in every way, but in many ways. And astonishing in performance. And I've yet to go further down on the pedal than an eighth. I mean, I go an eighth in the car is too fast. So what could I tell you? All I can say is America is great, muscle cars are terrific, and the weather's finally cleared up in the Bay Area, and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Keep away
from break the record, no good. Break the record, it insults Islam. Break record. Destroy record company, burn company down, hang everyone. Kill everyone, not fun. Not good. No snowmen. You think I'm making that up, right? Okay, I'm not making it up. To show you how retrograde and insane some of these people are. Not all, of course. Not all. But only some. Some of the retrogrades amongst them. A prominent Saudi Arabian cleric has caused a stir by declaring the building of snowmen as anti-Islamic. You see, after a snowstorm hit northern Saudi Arabia this week, a so-called religious website asked Sheikh Mohammed Saleh Al-Mahouhi if it was acceptable for fathers to build snowmen for their children. Reuters reports, "It is not permitted to make a statue out of snow, even by way of play and fun," said Sheikh Mohammed. Sheikh Mohammed Mesthed, quoting Muslim scholars, argues that the building of snowmen creates an image of human beings, an action viewed as sinful under Saudi Arabia's interpretation of Sunni Islam. Of course, it's Sunni Islam, I understand that, but I call it Sunni Islam, because when Sunni got blue. The decree drew mixed responses on Twitter, where users were posting in Arabic and identifying themselves with Arab names. One user wrote, "They are afraid for their faith of everything. Sick minds," one user wrote. Another one said, "If building snowmen is imitating the infidels, it promotes lustiness and eroticism," another user wrote. What? Do you know anyone who gets turned on by a snowman? Are they that sick and insecure? Building a snowman promotes lustiness and eroticism? Guys, have you ever heard of anyone, like, even remotely, even a sicko, getting turned on by a snowman? It's incomprehensible. It's impossible for someone to get, like, excited by a snowman. May God preserve the scholars, for they enjoy sharp vision and recognize matters that even Satan does not think about. Oy vey! And you think you're going to drag these people into the 10th century, let alone the 20th century? Now, what century are we in? Is it 21st already? I'm 100 years behind. What's the difference? I'm close enough. I swear to God, I didn't make this up. This was not a comedy shtick. The retrogrades declare snowmen as being anti-Islamic. You know, last night I was watching a silly movie in bed. Sometimes I put on really silly movies to relax my mind because I can't do it 24/7. And there was a movie about something in Rome with Troy Donahue, 1962, and an actress you never heard of, Troy Donahue. I don't know where he is today, probably with a walker somewhere in Boca Raton. And Suzanne Plachet, who I think passed away. She was a pretty good-looking girl. And it's about a librarian goes to Rome, falls in love with this playboy, and the scenery in Rome in the 1960s, it was shot in probably the big cameras, real film, not video. I mean, I love movies from the 60s because of the depth of the film quality compared to video. They cannot do it. They can't make it as good. It's like watching The French Connection the other night. Loved it. I loved it because of the New York City, it was set in the 60s, 70s, whatever it was. All the cars were American behemoths. It was astounding. The men all wore suits and hats in the streets. There were no bums. Nobody in undershirts looking like Zuckerberg was walking around in the background of the How did this happen? That even a billionaire looks like a bum in America today. How is that even possible? Thank God you don't have a camera on me right now what I'm wearing. I'm not wearing a tuxedo exactly, but I'm asking. I think clothing definitely indicates the fall of our society. When a billionaire wears an undershirt to try to look like a child, when grown men look like juveniles and you can't tell them between them and their sons, who are 5 years old with shorts and a snowman. I mean, you wonder why the civilization is collapsing. When you have a president who goes to meetings on national security wearing an undershirt, whatever he wears, and doesn't go to Paris when 4 million people are marching, you can see why they think snowmen are a threat.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage. Bus in the subway. I never figured I could break out. I always dreamed I would. If you look at my journals going back to 63, 4, 5, my mind was always on the stars. But I didn't really think it would happen. You know, the slush, the dead man's pants, the impoverished background, no connections, family to nobody. I mean, people break out of it all the time in America. That's the beauty. But I figured I couldn't. I wasn't tall. I wasn't blonde. I wasn't good looking. I wasn't tall, dark, and handsome. I was the opposite of that. So I look at this movie, Rome Adventure, and I see the scenery in Rome in 1962, and I say, all I could think of, looking at the ancient statues of the Roman historical figures and the incredible architecture of Rome, which much of it still exists, and all I could be thinking about was, while we're conducting the silliness, motor scooters and drinks in the cafes, the Muslims who they've let in are plotting to blow their city up and blow up all of their cultural symbols. You say, oh, come on, don't say that. No. What did they do in Afghanistan when they took over? They blew up a Buddhist statue that was 1,400 years old. Why is Paris protecting the Eiffel Tower? Because their Muslim friends would like to blow up the Eiffel Tower as a symbol of their civilization. Have you no idea who these people are? Have you no idea what they have in mind for your civilization, which is the total decimation of it, along the lines of what the Mongols did to Baghdad? Decimating the entire civilization. I told you at the beginning of the show, you can look back at Islamic history for terror if you'd like, but shift gears with me and go to the 1300s of the Mongols and look what they did, how they massacred and assimilated entire cities of people. And how when they conquered Baghdad, at that time a Muslim city, they massacred the entire population of Baghdad, and they destroyed the immemorial irrigation system going into Baghdad, into Iraq. So in other words, there have been retrograde forces in the history of the world before, and you would think that with the power that we have, the military power that we have, this war would have been over a long time ago, right? How could we have defeated Hitler in a few years? A man just as fanatical as the most fanatical of Islamists, with one of the finest military machines the world has ever seen, with weaponry far advanced to ours. The ME-109 was superior to our airplanes until we caught up with it. You know that, don't you? You're not going to compare the Tiger or the Panzer tank to our Ronsenleiter little tanks. The little tanks that went up in flames the minute they were hit by a Panzer shell, our men died on fire, and they knew it, but we could build a lot of them. So how is it that the United States was able to defeat Superman? How did every man defeat Superman? Well, do I have to tell you that Barack Obama wasn't president? Do I have to tell you that even a liberal Democrat, FDR, recognized that civilization itself was hanging in the balance against Hitler? And that he threw everything he had against Hitler? While we have a leader so-called in the White House who not only will not throw much at the enemy that will destroy our civilization, but denies the enemy even exists. So as I watch a silly movie, it penetrates even that experience of mine. I look at a film from 1960 in the streets of Rome, and all I could think about was, what would the Islamists do if they conquered Rome? They destroy every symbol of Roman civilization. Every symbol of Italian civilization would be decimated. The churches are being destroyed as I talk with you in Iraq, and you don't hear a word of it in your churches. I don't expect you to hear it from your government. They're useless. But wouldn't you think your priest would be telling you that in your Catholic churches? That the Muslims are destroying churches in the Middle East and killing Christians and driving them into exile? Wouldn't you think your Catholic priest would care about that instead of working with Obama to flood America with Aslan? Wouldn't you think so? Yeah, well, you would think so if we lived in a society that was still sane and sound. But we're living in a suicidal society. And there's nothing more I can say about it. So I do my little thing. I have the conservative scholarship of what it means to be an American. I have my archive project as though, you know, that matters. I write my books. I do my show. I sing my song. What can I do? That's what I do. What can I do? That's all I can do. I give you my view of the world. I paint my pictures every day. As I told you before, I'm still that person sitting and building balsa wood models on the radio. Albeit I'm not using balsa wood, I'm using words. I'm constructing a world as it should be, and I'm comparing it to the world as it actually is. I'm giving you two models of the world every day. But in many ways, I'm still that kid sitting in front of in a desk with a lamp and a desk building a balsa wood model. I mean, that's why I'm good at radio. I have a natural gift to take many complex ideas and compress them and express them. That's another good phrase, isn't it? Compress and express. I like that. That'll be stolen before it leaves my mouth. Probably archived by a stenographer ready for somebody. Compressed and express. It'll be on the air tomorrow. I like to hear many of my phrases repeated by others. It gives me a pleasure. Because as Lao Tzu said, it does not matter who steals your ideas or uses them. He said, he didn't say steal. Lao Tzu wrote, it doesn't matter who uses your ideas as long as your ideas are used. Well, that was before intellectual property rights. And before if Lao Tzu had my lawyer, Dan Horowitz, he wouldn't have spoken like that. But I don't think Dan Horowitz lived in ancient China. Did he have any relatives? I got to get Dan on the show to ask him if there was a Jewish lawyer in ancient China. Lao Tzu wouldn't have talked so freely. He would have said, look, anyone who rips off my ideas, you'll hear from my lawyer, Danny. Oh, God. All right, so we have other sound to play before I take any callers. Oh, I forgot what I wanted to do. Listen, people are saying that the reason that Obama didn't attend the rally in Paris is because the Jew was there, Netanyahu. He didn't want to be around the Jew from Israel. I'm trying to be blunt and make it clear to you. It's that simple. Jew-Muslim, he took Muslim. He'd taken the Muslim side, not the Jew side. Why? There's more money in it. It's that simple. That's how he figured out there's more money and more votes. Pretty good. In other words, when you have no character, that's how you think. That's how the entire Democrat establishment and most of the Republican establishment thinks. Voters and money, nothing else. So, all right, took the side of the Muslim, not Jew. So now that's being talked about is that Obama missed the march because the Jew was there, Netanyahu. Netanyahu had not been invited by the socialist bum from France, but he came anyway, right? Well, take a guess who said that first. It was not even me. It was a caller to the Savage Nation yesterday, correct, Robert? Yes. Listen to this to prove that my callers are the smartest in the history of talk radio. Listen. Let's go to line 6. Fire away. What's on your mind?
Yes, David, calling from Los Angeles, listening online, KSFO, to talk about Obama, why he wasn't there in France at the Global Peace March.
Tell us.
I'm here to say, not because of football, because Netanyahu said he was going to be there, and Obama could not be seen in a global unity together with Netanyahu.
Well, hold on. See, the caller from L.A. said it first, then it was picked up by people in the media who are now repeating it as though it's gospel. It's amazing what they learn from callers and from talk show hosts and don't give us credit. which I don't really care. It doesn't really matter. I mean, I get the audience is what I care about. You know, they're part of the audience, too. They have to make a living. So if they lift ideas without attribution, what's new about that? It's done it by everybody. Everyone does it. So what's the difference? Oh, so then I want to go back to another thing. So I'm watching a movie with Troy Donahue, American in Rome or whatever, and I find out, may he rest in peace, he died in 2001. This guy was like a male sex symbol. Like, he was the all-American blonde, blue-eyed hero in the 1950s. I wanted to be him, as I told you. But I just took a picture. The guy died young. I mean, he died in age 65 in Santa Monica of an HA. But here's a picture of the guy in 1999. He looks 20 years older than me. I don't understand it. How do they age like that? The gullet, skinny, the face is shot. I don't understand the hair forward, the comb job. I don't understand it. What, am I lucky or what? Or is it the vitamins and the herbs and the garlic and the wine and the vodka and the dog and the this and the that? Am I lucky or what? What is this? I have terrible I have a terrible inheritance. The genes stink. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, Robert, I hate to say, I mean, I'm not putting anyone down. Terrible. As a doctor friend of mine, a philosopher friend of mine when I was young, said to me, Michael, I'm sorry, but you just have PPM. I said, what's that? He said, piss poor protoplasm. I said, thank you. That's what he called it in academic medical circles in the 60s. You have PPM, you inherited badly. Because he knew that my poor father and the grandfather, great-grandfather, died young. Why am I still kicking? I don't get it. It has to be the vitamins, the mega vitamins. I mean, I swim on ascorbic acid. I swim on herbs. I mean, my serum is saturated with various vitamins and herbs and alcohol. I'm just telling you like it. I do bicycle every day, but not like fanatically, not in a jester costume showing my butt to the people in cars behind me. I'm not one of the bicycle jesters in San Francisco. I love it. Yeah. No, I bicycle, but a modest little bicycle job, 15, 20 minutes. And I bicycle not to pump the heart. I told you that. I don't get my pulse rate up. I'm contrary to what they believe. I don't understand people. They're supposed to be cardiologists and tell you to get the heart rate up to 170 every day and sweat till you almost drop dead. That's why runners are dropping dead. You're not supposed to run like that. The human being was not made to run after the age of 40 at that kind of, to that extreme. And if you don't believe me, why don't you take a look at all the replaced knees and hips? That might answer your question. You know, they're dropping dead like flies from pushing their bodies too hard. I try to tell younger guys in their 40s, slow it down. Take the Chinese approach. I don't mean Mongolian scallops or Mongolian beef. I mean, take the Chinese philosophy of longevity, the middle road. Don't push yourself that hard. You don't have to get your heart pounding and sweat every time you exercise. You're going to get a blowout. That's all. The tire's going to blow out and there's no patch. Just take it easy. That's what I say. Look, I'm not at the age where I can even give you health advice yet. I'm still too young. I made a commitment many years ago, even though I've been writing health books since 1972, that I really wouldn't make myself center stage on health issues till I was 80. And I'm nowhere near that. So I really don't think I should talk yet. When life begins at 80. When I hit 80, if I'm still living, God willing, I'll give you health advice. Right now, I'm not going to tell you anymore. I've already told you. I guess I gave you health advice with 30 books on the subject. But I'm not walking around like one of these guys like on Home Shopping Network selling you like Nostrums, you know. They make a lot of money on that, man. These guys, illiterate morons from Bensonhurst. They give themselves like a chiropractic doctorate degree. It's unbelievable to me. The money they make in the vitamin business. You can buy it in like the drugstore for a 50th less, but they have a special rat droppings in their formula. So I go back to Troy Donahue, 1999. I don't know how he aged so badly, the poor guy. I always wanted to be him. As I said, I wanted to be blonde. I wanted to be blue-eyed. I wanted to look like I passed for white, but I never really passed for white. That's a joke. Did you know that joke? That's a funny joke. I don't know if you get that. Robert, does it still translate as not? It's not a racist joke, but it's a funny joke. I remember once I was in Mallorca in 1965 during my poetic career, which lasted 3 months. I fled America and I went to Mallorca. No, it was Mallorca, but we called it Mallorca for fun. That's in the heyday of when the hippies were running to Ibiza. They were pre-hippies. They were basically just degenerates looking for a good time. So I went to Mallorca, and one winter I spent a long, lonely winter in Mallorca, and I met a lot of English poets. I remember the guy who wrote Saturday Night and Sunday Morning was there, and he was drunk with his young, beautiful wife. Well, she was a nice-looking girl. He had a baby. They had a baby. Marie was her name, and he was a nasty Irish drunk. He would curse every... That was like the age when the poet thought he had to be an insulting alcoholic That was still the age, you know, the Brendan Behan, Big Mouth, you know, how to insult everybody. Ooh, you're full of San Francisco. You got plenty of them like that. They still imitate it with the cane and the loudmouth liberalism garbage. So he insulted everyone who came in there. He and I struck it off well. So he was laying there on the, passed out in the bar with the baby. And in the bar was a guy named Riven Todd. It was a nature poet, or an English nature poet, a lovely man. And he wrote a poem called A Garland for the Winter Solstice, which I still remember to this day. He wrote beautiful poetry. But he used to say things that were so beautiful and so funny. And he was the one who first said to me something along the lines, well, he said, at that time I passed for white, which was a funny phrase. And you got to understand what that means. It's got a context to it. That has nothing to do with racism. But in other words, unless you have a certain IQ and a sense of humor, you'll twist that into something it isn't, and you'll hate me more than a Muslim who'll blow up the Vatican. That's all. That's how sick the progressive is. You get it? Did I run through another stop set talking about a movie and Troy Donahue and Mongolian scallops? And it wasn't a bad set. It wasn't a bad little piece, was it? I would rank this as pretty good. I mean, look, let's not confuse talk radio with saving the world. I mean, we do our best, but truthfully, unless we can enchant you in some way, I wouldn't listen to me. Unless I enchant you, I wouldn't listen to me. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So there's an article in the New York Post, Meet the College Age Guys Who've Got Millions to Care About History. And it's two guys who created a History and Pictures Twitter account. And they scour the internet for dynamic, shareable photos from moments and people in history. And they share them with their 2.26 million followers. And each post nets at least 1,000 retweets and favorites. And they make a lot of money doing it. And they launched a thing on Twitter. I don't know much about it. I have a Twitter account, but I never capitalized on it. And it's like on history, which is interesting. It's very, very interesting what people can do in this country. They come here and they build a thing like this. And I love it. I think it's fantastic. It just shows you that if you're not a member of the Occupy movement or if you don't hate America, you can still get somewhere in this country. It's truly amazing. There are those who create and those who destroy, and then there's everyone else in between. Truly amazing to me, these pictures, the history pictures. Just shows you. I have about 2 million page views a month on my website. I don't think I do enough with it because I would like to create something more and then devote all the money to the scholarship fund because I'm not going to buy more cars with it. I'm not going to buy another house. I mean, I'd like to just devote it to the scholarship fund for the next 30 years. You know, what it means to be an American is what I would do with the money. But here's the thing people don't understand. I know people who are very wealthy and very old, but they never stop building. This is something you don't understand. The end line here is not retirement to play golf. There is no retirement to creative, dynamic people. They don't retire. They keep creating and then they drop dead. Or they wind up in a nursing home in a wheelchair facing a corner and a curtain with illegal aliens beating them about the head and neck for the small change that their families leave them. But, I mean, no one retires. Nobody retires.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Adult content. Psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
This is not Twitter, this is not Facebook, this is radio. The phone number is 855-407-282. The only place you can talk safely, anonymously, is talk radio. It's that simple. It's letters to the editor. And we have one open line. I'm going to take lots of calls this hour because you've been waiting for hours, many of you. I want to begin this hour with Jimmy Carter, who is an apologist for radical Islam and has been for many, many decades now. Everyone knows that. But the worst part of it is that Obama follows in his footsteps, if you can believe that. Obama follows in his peanut footsteps. Listen to clip number two.
Well, one of the origins for it is the Palestinian problem, you know, and this aggravates people who are affiliated anyway with the Arab people who live in the West Bank and Gaza, what they're doing now, what's being done to them.
So once again, the man who drinks lighter fluid, and which has affected his brain for many centuries, not decades, but centuries, because this man is intergenerational. Anti-Semitism has existed through the ages, and Jimmy Carter is just the latest expression of it in a human form. When I say anti-Semitism, I specifically mean anti-Judaism. I don't mean anti-Semitism in the sense of anti-Arabism, because he works for them. He's a liar, and a dangerous one at that, and I stand by my words, because when I read to you the following list, you'll find that they all have something in common, and it's not about Israel. Now, what do these countries have in common? Afghanistan, Burma, Pakistan, Philippines, Bangladesh, India, China, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan. In Africa, Libya, Mali, Nigeria, Somalia, Algeria, Cameroon, Nigeria, Uganda. In Europe, Chechnya, Dagestan, Russia. In the Middle East, Iraq, Israel, Syria, and Yemen. What do all of these countries have in common? All of these countries have one thing in common. They're all fighting for their survival against radical Islamists. And so for Jimmy Carter to say that the Paris attacks were because of Jews tells you once again how vile the man is and how dangerous the situation is, because Obama is repeating the same big lie, which is why he didn't attend the Paris rally. It's because the Jew was there. I know it's like, ooh, what did he just say? That's like sucking air into a tooth that needs to be filled with gold. That like hurt. You said that Obama didn't go to Paris because the Jew was there? Yeah, I'll say it again. Obama didn't go to Paris because the Jew was there and he didn't want to be seen with Netanyahu. That's how vile this Democrat socialist machine is. I can add more to the sentence than that and say again, how can liberal Jews and this and that. I give up on liberal Jews. I give up on them. They're a lost cause. When I say liberal Jews, I have a character in mind, several. Hi, liberal Jew. See, everything is a pictogram to me. If I say Italian, I have a certain image in my mind. Say, if I say Muslim, picture in mind. Jew, picture in mind. So when I say liberal Jew, I think of who? Who comes to my mind? Woody Allen, Larry David, Harvey Weinstein. I don't know. That's a liberal Jew to me. Citizens of the world. No relationship whatsoever to Israel. Disconnected from their religion. Ethnic Jews. Bagels and lox Jews, we used to call them. Bagels and lox Jews. They cringe at the thought of a Torah. Their toes curl in their loafers when they think of a synagogue. But they say, I'm a proud Jew, and anyone who says any other, militant. Militant over nothing. They have no idea what they're militant over. So they're hopeless. Them I've written off a long time ago. Here's a little article for those of you who love Bill and Hillary Clinton. Protesters gather at Clinton Foundation to complain about missing billions from Haiti recovery. Oh, yeah. Protesters gathered outside the Clinton Foundation in New York City to complain about missing money from the Haiti recovery effort from the 2010 earthquake. The protesters claimed that the $10 billion meant to help rebuild Haiti did little to help the country after the devastating quake, and much of the money went to non-Haitian companies. In Harlem, people raised their voices to call attention to the missing money, said the local New York City reporter. This protest outside the office of the Clinton Foundation, which helped lead the Reconstruction Fund. Bingo. Really? So the people are starving to death in Haiti, and Clinton and his cronies, they did very well indeed. Well, there's nothing new under the sun. As we used to say affectionately about the missionaries who came to Hawaii to convert the Hawaiian heathens to Christianity, they came to do good, and they did very well indeed. So what is new under the sun? They came to do good, and they did very well indeed. It's like the do-gooders with the illegal aliens. You think they care a whit about illegal aliens from Mazatlan? No, they're doing it for the billions and millions they're raking in. Yes. Yes, all the liberals who want to do good for the illegal aliens are doing very well indeed. And it's like the environmental movement. They want to do good for the environment, and they're doing very well indeed, boys and girls. Girls, boys and girl, because I have one listener that's a girl. No, I have 22 female listeners across the... 22 female savagettes listen to the show. Out of the millions of listeners, a shame only 22 women listen. How is only 22 women are conservative? I don't get it. 855-400-7282. We have one open line for a savagette on the program. Let's go to the first caller here. Line number 3, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's your topic?
David, Asbury Park, New Jersey, WABC.
See, smart. That's it. That's why I like East Coast callers. On the point, on the money, station name, topic. I don't have to sweat till my tongue falls out. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind is when and how do we start phase two of stop this coming civil war?
Well, Obama's been at war with America from the day he became president, but even before that, he even said he wanted to transform America. What does that mean? He's been at war with the country's institutions and history from the day he started. So how does it stop? We had an election. He threw it in the garbage. He spit on it. I don't know how to change it. I said, get in the face of Boehner and McConnell. Go to McConnell's turkey farm and yell in his face. Go to Boehner's local Irish bar and yell in his face. I don't know what to say.
Okay, Michael, now let's, would you agree with me 80-85% of your audience is blue collar?
I don't know. I really don't know. I would assume that they're that, a working type of personality, not an elite web designer or something.
Right, I mean.
I would say that Zuckerberg doesn't listen to the show, yes.
Okay.
I would say that the Facebergs of the world don't listen. I would say Woody Allen doesn't listen. I would say Robert De Niro doesn't listen. I would say Harvey Weinstein doesn't listen. Yes, I think so.
Okay, I agree. I work 11 hours a day. I have to be at work at 4 a.m. I leave 3 p.m. Of course, listen to your show. You bring me down. My hour and a half commute is a beauty, thanks to you. I've written to Menendez. I've written to Pallone when his heart was still beating. Florio, McGreevy, Corzine, Chris Christie, at least he's got the goons to write back to me. And now it's getting to a point where I'm becoming a prepper. I am storing food, I am storing water. Instead of buying a box of ammunition, I am buying a case of ammunition. I don't see...
I guess I'm supposed to intervene and say you're crazy, but I'm not, am I?
No, you did not. You did not.
See, when you have lunatics and frontmen like Jimmy Carter apologizing for the Muslim extremists, anything can happen in this country, and other nations have collapsed. So why should you be considered a lunatic for doing that? I don't know.
I don't know.
To me, it's like an insurance policy. We take insurance out hoping we don't have an accident, but figuring if we do, we should have insurance. So to me, putting away food and water and ammunition is like an insurance policy. It's the same with gold, and I must say that. Yes, one of my chief advertisers is Swiss America, and he is a friend of mine, and he's been with me for 10 years, and I would think buying gold from him is as important as buying canned wheat.
Yes, absolutely, and I agree.
I mean, how much is the dollar really worth? What, the paper is going to buy you something in the event of a central government collapse?
$18 trillion in debt? It's worth nothing.
How could this liar and thief in the White House get away with bankrupting us like this? And people go along like the Pied Piper is there. The currency is so devalued, it's hard to even calculate what the actual level of inflation is in this country right now. And then out of the blue, all of a sudden, gas prices come down because his friends in Saudi Arabia want to destroy the American oil industry, more particularly the American shale industry.
Exactly.
Which is called a monopolistic practice. And if we had an attorney general who was worth anything, he would stop this from happening. He would not permit the Saudis to destroy our shale industry. And that's if we had a legitimate attorney general.
He was too busy over in Paris giving a global warming...
Come on. Well, okay, I think we've covered that one pretty good. And I can't believe we're up and already... 15 minutes after the hour. Let me grab another caller if I can on the show. Line number 8, fire away. Name, topic, city.
Doctor, this is Fred, WMAL, Washington, D.C., J. Edgar Hoover.
Please, now, one of the greatest American heroes.
You'll have to go back and in time a little bit, but most of the dumbed-down America has no idea who J. Edgar Hoover even was.
He was smeared by the American left, and what's odd about it is the American left that glorifies homosexuality chose homosexuality to smear J. Edgar Hoover. Isn't that odd?
And I contend that J. Edgar Hoover was still alive and running the FBI. he would know where every single towelhead was hiding in this country. And
correct, and I wouldn't care if he was gay. I wouldn't care if he was a transvestite. I wouldn't care if he wore a woman's underwear. I would still like to have JFK as the FBI director.
If JFK,
J. Edgar Hoover as the FBI director. Sorry about that.
Still in there, I guarantee you the clown would never be in the White House.
If we had a J. Edgar Hoover, the clown would have been in jail before he became president for his prior associations with known dangerous individuals. And I'll stand by my words. Obama could not have qualified to become an FBI agent nor a Secret Service agent based upon his associations. Is that correct?
That's correct. And I wanted
So what can we do about it? He's been president now for 6 years. How are we going to stop it? We had an election and he hasn't been stopped. So what's next? You think Boehner is going to impeach him?
No, we need another Republican president with some cojones.
Well, now you opened up the real topic of the year. And that's who, exactly? That's who? Jeb Bush? Put an X through Jeb Bush, the blimp. Let's see, that's Mitt Romney who threw the last election? I don't think so. So who is it? Who's the man on the white horse or the woman on the white horse who's going to save us?
I'm certainly praying every day to God that we find one.
Well, we had an election. There were several conservatives, but they were buried immediately by Boehner, who threatened them. He took that wonderful African-American woman from Salt Lake City, who was a diehard conservative, and he basically co-opted her. And the way the politics works, my friend, is this. I got to say it again, because I'm not an expert on it, but I know just how it works. It's all about money. They get the young people in who just won, and they sit them down in a room. They feed them a congressional lunch, and here's what they say to them. They say, you know, it's very cold outside. The snow is blowing. It's really cold out there. You go against this party, you're going to get thrown in the outside. You'll be thrown to the dogs. Now, it won't happen right away, but what we'll do is we'll starve you. We'll throw you off committees. We will deny you any money, and we'll redistrict your area. We'll gerrymander it, as we did to Alan West, and you'll be thrown out. The next day, they all line up behind the drunk. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. All right. It's the Savage Nation. It's enough already. Now, the snowman story unto itself would be laughable if it wasn't real. Saudi cleric declares snowmen as being anti-Islamic. You know, what more do you need to know than this? A prominent Saudi Arabian lunatic cleric has said that the building of snowmen is anti-Islamic. I didn't make this up. I thought it was from The Onion. They said it promotes lustiness and eroticism. And I have to ask you, Jim, do you know anybody who gets turned on by snowmen? I mean, is there a fetish that I don't know about snowmen? Is there a psychiatrist in the house? They say that if infidels build snowmen, it will promote lustiness and eroticism. I mean, you talk about insecurity. You talk about people whose faith is so weak that they kill you if you build a snowman. And we have a president who won't even say that this is related to terrorism. I mean, where do we go from here? KSFO, I guess, is where we go. I see we have one caller on someone put up the station, so I'm giving it away. KSFO, line 9, what's on your mind?
Hi there, Michael. This is Lisa, KSFO, all alone in San Francisco. And
so you're one of my 12 women listeners. What's on your mind?
I thought I was number 23. Well, I just wanted to share that we have similar car interests.
Well, it is 23, but there's 12 of them in San Francisco. So what is it about cars?
Okay, yeah, I'm number 13. Well, I have a 6.1 liter Hemi, a Dodge 300Z, an SRT8. It came.
What, you want to drag race me in my Hellcat?
Would that be fun or what?
Yeah, but come on, you know the Hellcat will smoke your car.
I know it will. And you know what? I'm worried about my car being keyed because I have an NRA sticker in the window as it is.
Oh, good for you. Yeah, you know what? Why don't you key them first? I am so not afraid of liberals and these terrorists around us who seem to put us all in a box. We're afraid of them. Screw them. If you tickle them, do they not laugh? If you key them, does their paint not scratch? And I thank you for the call. I mean, what is everyone so afraid of these liberals for? If you tickle them, do they not laugh? If you key their car, does it not scratch? I mean, be real about it. What are they, supermen and superwomen? Where they get this strange power from that intimidates the rest of us? I don't understand it. I mean, you know, think about it. They're just people. But I'm not making this up about snowmen. This is a true story. A Saudi cleric declares snowmen as being anti-Islamic because somebody a snowstorm hit northern Saudi Arabia. So a religious website asked this moronic sheikh moron, Sheikh Mohammed Saleh Amashkhimahai, if it was acceptable for fathers to build snowmen for their children. And Sheikh Mohammed said it is not permitted to make a statue out of snow, even by way of play and fun. Sheikh Mohammed said, quoting Muslim scholars, that the building of snowmen creates an image of human beings, an action viewed as sinful under Saudi Arabia's interpretation of Sunni Islam. This is a religion? This is a holy man? This is a cleric? How come Woody Allen doesn't mock them? How come he only mocks Orthodox Jews? Now you know what I think of liberal Jews. I'll be right back. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Terrorism is read in the Muslim world as a war on Muslims. It shouldn't be, but I think it tends to be read that way. The new language is countering violent extremism, and it says, I think correctly, that right. There's a way in which this problem of young jihadist
turn his
youth...
Turn loud mouth off. Who is this idiot? Oh, someone from the Washington Post. I get it. So the president of France declared a war on radical Islam. President of England, Prime Minister of England, radical Islam. But this country is using violent extremism. And, of course, now it's imitated by the Washington Post. You can't say Islamic extremism. Well, what would you call this? A Saudi cleric condemns snowmen as anti-Islamic. Would you say that's extremism? And would you say it's tied to Islam? They do. You're going to call that what? What would you call that? Just a cultural choice? Ask the religious website if it was permissible for fathers to build snowmen for the children after a snowstorm in the country's north. That's in Saudi Arabia. A sheikh said, it's not permitted to make a statue out of snow, even by way of play and fun. Quoting from Muslim scholar Sheikh Murakhin Hemahai said that to build a snowman was to create an image of a human being, an action considered sinful under the kingdom's strict interpretation of Sunni Islam.
Do you want to build a snowman?
God has given people space to make whatever they want, which does not have a soul, including trees, ships, fruits, buildings, and so on. But, this is not good. Not good at all. Because it will definitely make people lusty and erotic.
Do you want to build a snowman?
Lusty and erotic from a snowman. Even the Muslims are responding, calling them every name under the sun. The young religious, the young people in Saudi Arabia have seen through these old sickos. One user in Arabic wrote, a people looking for a fatwa, a religious ruling for everything in their lives, and a cleric who wants to interfere in everything in the lives of others through a fatwa. They're waking up. And yet some supported him. May God preserve the scholars, for they enjoy sharp vision and recognize matters that even Satan does not think about. So now a snowman is a threat to the religious fanatics. So you any wonder there's a war of civilizations here? I mean, my God, how do we win this war unless you recognize that you're at war? And as I say, if we had a legitimate attorney general's office, they would stop Saudi Arabia from breaking our shale industry. You know, but that's not for me to say. The shale industry should have had a press conference and said that. Am I right or wrong? Here we have a domestic production of oil that was bankrupting Saudi Arabia or breaking them over their knee, weakening all of the oil-producing terrorists around the world. And all of a sudden, they get together and they flood the world with oil at a low price to break our shale market. And our government does nothing to defend our domestic shale production industry. How is that possible? Guess which side they're on. Guess who pays them. Figure it out. All right, let me take some callers. I don't understand something about myself. If someone could explain it, I'd be very happy. I have more energy in my third hour than in my first hour. This is the opposite of what's supposed to happen. It's like I'm more energetic at my age than I was many, many decades ago. I don't understand that. I'm stronger than I was 30 years ago. I don't understand this. And I don't eat Wheaties. I do not eat Wheaties. I eat Mongolian scallops, which is why I'm very interested in the Mongol conquests. Now, if I decided to eat a lot of mammal, you know, dead mammals, I would talk about the age of mammals. If, on the other hand, no, I don't want to go down this list. I could do it. It would be very funny. If I decided to eat amphibians, I would go back to the age of the amphibians in history. I eat birds. I eat a chicken, so I can give you about the first birds and the first mammals. I like looking at hopping birds because they're basically descended from reptiles. They're like little dinosaurs. Every time I see a chicken, I think of a dinosaur. Or here on the San Francisco Bay, when I wake up in the morning, it's God. You know, I want to know what God is. You know what God is? It's in my eye. God is in my eyes. I wake up in the morning, you know, tired, whatever. I don't wake up energetic and pop out of bed and do push-ups. I get up like, oh, another day. I mean, I don't know what I got to do. Meeting, ad meeting, radio. It's too far. I can't do. Where's the dog? And I step on him. Teddy, watch out. I open the curtains and I see the bay and I pray. I say, holy God, I see thousands of seabirds feeding on herring, as they've done for millennia. For millennia, they've been feeding. The herring come every January. The birds come with them. And you see thousands of them on the bay feeding on the herring. And mixed amongst them are the Japanese commercial fishermen stealing all the herring for Japan. Because we're too stupid to defend our own depleted fish stocks. The country's upside down. If I was running the country, I would not let the Japanese steal my fish. It's that simple. I said, go fish off your own islands. Okay, go 20 miles off. What are they doing in my bay fishing for herring for? What are they doing in here? Who let them inside my bay to steal my herring, I ask myself. Oh, well. I don't run anything. I saw this start in the 1970s. That was the beginning of the end of America. Yeah, if you ask me a turning point of when America's greatness diminished, it was 1970-ish. That's about when it all started to fall apart, right after the Vietnam War. Kind of like during the Vietnam War is when America started to come apart at the seams. That's when the boll weevils got into the body politic. That's when the termites got into the government. I mean, to a great extent, they were always there. You always had the socialist liberal termites. That's when they really entered the timber of the country and ate it out. Just ate it out. Ate it out where it's hollow like balsa wood now. And then along came Waldo, and here we are. Where was Waldo in Paris? What, was he busy watching the football game? No, it's because the Jew went. He didn't want to be there. That was another moment like, ooh, what did he say? Did he say the president didn't go to Paris because the Jew was there? Yeah. Maybe you'll hear me then if I don't mince words. See, if I don't mince words, you'll actually hear me. He didn't want to be seen with the Jew because he's on the other side. It's that simple. They've taken the side. Arabs are more in number and more money. So they don't need the Jews anymore. They wrote them off. They're very pragmatic people. They have no character, so they're very pragmatic. So they wrote off Israel and they wrote off the Jewish vote. It doesn't matter. First of all, they got the Jewish vote. 90% of the Jews would vote for them, even if they fill in the blank, anything you want. 90% of liberal Jews would vote Democrat, even if the Democrats, now fill in three different ways, and you're correct no matter what you put in there. Woody Allen would still vote Democrat. Harvey Weinstein would still vote Democrat. Larry David would still vote Democrat. Doesn't matter, no matter what. It doesn't matter. So let's go to the rest of the sound bites here on the Savage Nation. I know many of you can't believe what you're hearing. It seems like it's illegal and immoral and fattening to listen to me, but it isn't. It's legal, it's moral, and it's thinning to listen to the Savage Nation. UKIP leader Nigel Farage on France saying Europe has suffered from moral cowardice. Let's hear clip 12.
We've got no-go zones in most of the big French cities. We've been turning a blind eye to preachers of hate that have been coming here from the Middle East and saying things for which the rest of us would be arrested. In parts of northern England, we've seen the sexual grooming scandal of underage girls committed by Muslim men in the majority. And for all of these things, we're seeing the law not being applied equally. We're seeing the police forces not actually doing their job because we've suffered from moral cowardice.
Oh, what I wouldn't give for one Republican to sound like Nigel Farage. Oh, God, what I wouldn't give for literacy, intelligence, and guts. And the closest we come is clip 13 here. This is just a joke, but here's the closest we come in clip 13.
Of course it was a mistake, but it's also symptomatic of this president's lack of connection with other world leaders, with his understanding of the importance of this issue worldwide. I would have been glad to have gone if I had been invited, but I think I had to be invited.
I mean, I rest my case. The level of illiteracy amongst our political classes is breathtaking. You know, the words that he used are that of about a fifth or sixth grade level, McCain. And he's one of the intellectuals of the Republican Party. you know, Nigel Farage, whether you like his politics or not, you hear a man speaking, you hear leadership. Voice, power, strength, commitment, committed to his nation. The other one is about him. McCain was about him going, not going. It wasn't about America. It was about him being invited. They didn't need him to go. They had enough stooges marching in the parade. And what, Cindy would have gone with him? Valley of the Dolls would have gone? That's an offhanded joke. I shouldn't have said that. I mean, that's a, most people don't even know the reference. She's a nice lady. I mean, she got stuck with him. I also would have been a popping pill. Imagine if you were married to John McCain, what you had to do to get through a day. Imagine if John McCain was your husband, what you'd have to do to cope. I can't imagine what it'd be like to be a woman with him coming home at night. Oh, God, the thought of it. I mean, you know, once a year have corned beef and cabbage with him, that's about it. You know, maybe on St. Patty's Day you could let him in the house, but that's as close as I would come as a woman to let him near me. You know, finish the cabbage and hit the road, John. That's enough. You had your closeness for the year. All right, well, I'm sorry. Am I being mean? Is this too mean, or should I be softer and the kinder, Savage? You know what I haven't done this year in 2015 has been, I haven't done Dr. Unsavage. White House blasted for using security as an excuse for no-show at Paris rally. As the White House points to security concerns, the chief reason President Obama skipped the anti-terror rally in Denver over the weekend. Some argue the Secret Service and the advance team could have made it happen. No kidding. Netanyahu got there. No one hurt him. They all had security. Nobody hurt them there. How did Netanyahu manage to do it with a few members of Shin Bet? A few shaved-head Jews were able to protect them. Nothing happened, but Obama couldn't go. Look, it was the football game and the fact that he didn't want to be seen with Netanyahu, because then he couldn't sell his goods as well to Saudi Arabia. I think Saudi Arabia runs America, I'm starting to think. Going back to Bush with the pinky, you know, like everything's in a picture. A picture is worth a thousand words. The pinky and George Bush was to me, like, very telling. One picture is worth a thousand, I was going to say words, but I thought of another word that ends with the same syllable. One picture is worth a thousand words. I'm sorry, Robert. That's funny. You're laughing because you got the picture and I didn't say it. See, this is a way around the censors. Even if I'm censored, I can get around it. That picture, it says it all. Line number two, fire away, you're on the Savage Nation. A dud.
Oh, this is.
That's. I'm sorry. I it's got to be quick on the draw, or sorry, you put down the holster. All right, line number eight. Next up, you're on the Savage Nation. Line eight, go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage. My name is Victoria. I'm listening on iHeartRadio in East Los Angeles, and my topic is unprotected talk.
I want to ask you something. How is it that I'm not played, my show is heard everywhere in the country but Los Angeles, and yet I have a huge following on the internet? How is that possible?
I really don't know. Maybe the program directors are afraid to have you on.
I think that it's Hollywood and Katzenberg. I think it's Katzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Weinstein who don't want to hear my voice in L.A. Okay, so what's on your mind?
Well, about unprotected talk, please don't shelve it, because I think it encourages people to be to think critically, and then to be pithy, and from there you can is a good bounce-off point to have a good discussion.
No, I'm not dumping it. It's only on the days where there's breaking news that I will go away from it. How do you feel about Nancy Pelosi appointing an Islamist or an Islamist sympathizer to the Intelligence Committee? To the body's Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence? Why would Nancy Pelosi do this when she has grandchildren?
The Botox got to her head? I don't.
Well, that's a pretty good answer, but it's not a laughing matter when we have a psycho like this in the middle of the night saying she will appoint the first Muslim lawmaker to the nation's most sensitive intelligence committee. Why would she do that?
Well, probably she wants to kiss up to certain aspects of the voting population, which, of course, is Muslims, but I don't think they care about the consequences of their actions. They really don't.
You mean Nancy Pelosi doesn't say, I have grandchildren and this might be of a danger to them?
She probably thinks that she can protect them. They are elites.
Oh, God. It's a connection. This guy they picked is connected to Louis Farrakhan. Now, why would Nancy Pelosi do this to us? Why? And moreover, why did the Republicans permit this since they're now in the majority? How is that possible?
They're cowards, and then they don't know how to face off.
This Muslim, Andre Carson, Democrat, Indiana, a Muslim, who she's putting on an intelligence committee, declared that Tea Partiers on Capitol Hill would like to see African Americans hanging from trees. He also said that U.S. schools should be modeled after Islamic madrasas. And why would Nancy Pelosi permit him to be in on some of the nation's most sensitive intelligence? What the hell is wrong with that woman?
No, I think it's just time for a test.
How could she appoint him to the Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence? Where are the Republicans saying no?
Cowards.
All right, that's it. So I'm not going to drop unprotected talk. We've run through that time slot. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. You know, this is the most important story of the day. Nancy Pelosi, in the middle of the night, appoints an Islamist's front man for intel, for the highest intel post in the country, next to Dianne Feinstein, which is bad enough. Representative Andre Carson, Democrat Indiana, a Muslim, was handpicked by Pelosi in the middle of the night as the first Muslim lawmaker on the most sensitive intelligence committee in the country, the body's Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. She did this in the middle of the night. Now, this is the committee that receives intelligence on the threat of Islamic militants in the Middle East. Why would she do this? Here is a man who is not just a Muslim, but a man a little tilted to the most extreme side, in my opinion, because in his address to the ICNA convention a few years ago, here's what he said. America will never tap into educational innovation and ingenuity without looking at the model that we have in our madrasas in our schools, where innovation is encouraged, where the foundation is the Quran. That's the man she chose to be on the most sensitive intelligence committee in the country. Now, I'd like to know where she gets this authority. Can anyone tell me where Boehner is? This is not about a snowman. This is about Nancy Pelosi handpicking a Muslim to sit on this most important committee, but making matters worse is that this character has already served on the House Armed Services Committee. Any wonder why the House Armed Services can't do their job? He has also worked for the Department of Homeland Security's so-called Fusion Center. And what is that? That's a clearinghouse established by the federal government to combine the sharing of data between the CIA, the FBI, Department of Justice, and the military. I rest my case. The enemy within. In my opinion, the coming civil war, in my opinion, cannot be too far away. I wish to God I was wrong, but I think they're ratcheting up their attempts to seize our last vestiges of Americanism and freedom. That's my opinion. And they've got Boehner and McConnell in some sort of compromise that we will never know about. On that happy note, go out and make a snowman. Make a snowman for Jesus tonight.
Savage.